You're listening to The Richard Eads Show, the voice that tells it like it is on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe.
All right, Jim Turr joins us now. Jim is up in Las Vegas, where I assume it's also a very nice day, very nice northern New Mexico day. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. It is a glorious, beautiful day here the past few days.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty nice, and the fact that we have some rain on the way always gives me hope. All right, Jim, you've been around a while. You're kind of a wacky creative type. You do film, you do writing, you write satire, you write and record songs sometimes. You do all kinds of different things. And you recently wrote a piece that it was kind of an op-ed piece, kind of your experience that was in the local Las Vegas newspaper, The Optic, and then it was in the Albuquerque Journal, and it's about a weird but true medical story. And I have questions about it, but why don't you start to tell us about it?
Well, the weird thing about it is I doubt that it's very unusual or dramatic. I had a medical procedure that was recommended to me by my physician. He said, you've got a possible umbilical hernia developing there. Your outie is an umbilical hernia. If it ever pops out, you're going to be in trouble. And if you can afford to get it fixed, reinforced, you should. And, finally, at some point due to my insurance, my Obamacare, I guess I was able to possibly get it covered. So I talked to a surgeon and he told me exactly the same thing. He said, well, it's not something you have to do, but if you can afford to do it and you want to put up with the discomfort because it's an uncomfortable surgery and recovery, he says you should do it and then you won't have to worry about it. So I thought, well, this sounds fun. This is where my craziness comes in. I thought this sounds like an adventure.
So you just needed some attention, I think.
Yeah, something like that. So I proceeded to get the procedure done. Frankly, I didn't follow a couple of the instructions. I was sort of too out of it to really absorb them. It had to do with walking, exercising and using a breathing exerciser thing, whatever. So I ended up back in the hospital. I had some complications and some tremendous pain. And I went in the emergency room here in Las Vegas and they took me by ambulance back down to Albuquerque for a couple of days in the hospital.
Let's stop right there and make sure we get this whole timeline correctly. The surgery was performed in Albuquerque, right?
Correct,
right.
Yes.
The initial surgery, though you live in Las Vegas, was performed in Albuquerque, and then you went home. And in the in the piece you wrote, you said maybe they released you a little early, little prematurely?
Well, that was the opinion of some nurses and people I've talked to in retrospect, but everybody's got an opinion,
All right, let me ask you one other question.
It was too early for me to get to absorb the information of what I should do. Let's put it that way.
Let me ask you one other. What would have happened had you not done it? I mean, all right, so your belly button is an outie. I mean, at your age, what was the fear of not doing it?
Well, apparently, if you have that condition, you have a little bit of a hernia starting and you strain yourself or something happens and it pops out, then you get what they call a strangulated hernia. Then you got a real emergency, possibly fatal. But as the doctor said, it could happen or could never happen. So this was just a precaution.
Okay. All right. So you have the surgery down in the Duke City. Then what?
All right, so I rested up half a day. I came home to Las Vegas. I was lying around, very uncomfortable, but the doctor promised me I would be. So then I had a couple complications, went to the emergency room, and they diagnosed me. They did their job, I suppose, but they decided they were not going to take care of me there. They arranged for me to go back to Loveless Hospital, which is where the surgery had taken place. I got an ambulance and I was there, and it was a miserable experience. And after a couple of days, I kind of limped out of there for a few more weeks of recovery. But the story is in the bills that I ended up seeing.
Right. So you ambulanced from Las Vegas back to Albuquerque.
Right.
That's not cheap.
No, but that was one of the cheapest parts of the story.
Okay, all right. So, and we're going to talk to you. We're going to get your doctor involved in this conversation here in a few minutes. All right. So this is all of it. This is, you know, this is the procedure. This is why Jim did it, where he did it, went home, complications, went back to Loveless, was there a little while longer. Got it. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm fine. And by the way, the doctor we're going to talk to is not the doctor involved in the surgery. He's a friend.
Right. He's a friend, but he gives us perspective into this story, I think, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, definitely.
All right. How much did this end up costing you, or could it end up costing you?
It ended up costing you, Richard, about leaving out the smaller bills that I'm not even counting here. It ended up costing $125,000. $125,000.
For your stupid hernia? I'm not paying for that.
Well, you just did. But anyway, that includes 2 days in Loveless Hospital at $44,000 a day.
How do they justify that, Jim?
I don't know. I haven't asked them yet. I was hoping they'd see this editorial and maybe respond. I don't know. I don't think it's unusual. I didn't do anything. I didn't have any procedures or anything. I was just lying there, mainly.
Well, I mean, are you a mark? Are you a whale? Are you, you know, you some multimillionaire they saw coming? $44,000 a day.
I had insurance. That's what makes me special. And I guess a lot of people who end up getting medical care do not have insurance, and they have to make up for that. I guess that's their excuse. That's the problem with our system, but don't get me started.
All right, let's start with this. Jim Tur is our guest. He's up in Las Vegas. Had a what he thought was going to be a fairly simple, not life-threatening procedure, and the bill came out to $125,500. All right, how much was the actual surgery first time?
The surgery, the surgeon, the robotics, anesthesia, hospital operating room was about $13,000.
All right. Any idea if that's fair, if that's reasonable?
I don't know. I that's a big question. We'll get a perspective of what this would have all cost in Europe or places with other medical care, but that's, I don't know if it's fair. All I know is my dad was a doctor, and, the emergency room in Las Vegas, if we can skip ahead, was $21,000 for five. I mean, the doctor in the emergency room was $1,700 for 5 hours. All I know is my dad, who was a doctor, never made $500 an hour. But okay.
All right.
Are you there?
Yeah. No, I'm here. I'm just trying to follow along here with your notes. All right. So surgeon was $3,800. Robotics technician, $1,300. Anesthesia, $1,600. Hospital operating room pre-op visit, $6,600. Total so far, $13,300. Now, the question is, Jim, as always, is this fair? Am I getting ripped off? You know, how does this compare? And this is why, you know, I was very much in favor of what Thing New Mexico and Fred Nathan were doing with legislation to create a website portal, because of these variances around the state, around hospitals, around healthcare, with doctors, so we can easily compare costs from hospital to hospital to hospital and see if what is happening is fair. $44,000 a day for a hospital room in Albuquerque at Loveless sounds excessive to me.
Well, that sounds excessive to me. Now, I can't make a judgment about the surgeon and the operator. I have no complaint about the surgeon, the hospital, any of that. That's what the cost was. I went to a surgeon who was recommended to me, and I think he was very good and very honest and all that. So that was the $13,000. Now, when it got complicated and I went to the emergency room for 5 hours for $21,000, that's when it gets into the realm of the surreal, in my opinion. Right. And then when they sent me back to Albuquerque, and I put up with some stuff, like a bed that had a huge plastic bar across the back of it. I was very uncomfortable. It wasn't, I'm not complaining about the personnel, but the visit was kind of bleak. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was free follow-up for some reason. But thank God I had insurance, because it wasn't. It was $44,000 a day for 2 days, and then they wanted to keep us there longer. Me and my girlfriend, who was helping me out, thank God.
Yeah.
They wanted us to stick around for another couple of days, get physical therapy or something, but I walked out of there. We walked out of there, said goodbye, and it was just a, sort of a nightmarish state of mind kind of thing.
Jim, when they readmitted you, when they learned that you were coming back in your ambulance from Las Vegas, New Mexico, all the way down to Albuquerque, when you walked in, when you were readmitted, was there any sense of, oh, we kind of made a mistake the first time, we're going to give you a break, or this one's on the house, as it should have been?
Well, I'm not saying, Richard, that it should have been. I cop to the fact that, I had a part in my complications. I didn't follow the instructions. As I say, I didn't really hear them, but okay. No, there was no sense of that. There was no talk about business. I just went in and I was well taken care of. And, I had it in my head that this was, and it was not exactly the same hospital, by the way.
Okay.
It was
right.
Part of the Loveless chain,
right.
One of the Loveless hospitals. But no, I don't think they, it turned out they were not,
So there was no, there was no warranty.
No, I went into the hospital and I was put in a bed and they took care of me and that's fine, but the price is what was incredible to me.
Yeah, to me as well. All right, we'll take a break here. We're going to make contact with Jim's friend, who's a doctor up in Las Vegas, and we'll get his take. We'll get his take, a professional opinion on all of this. It's $44,000 for a hospital room in Albuquerque, kind of pretty much middle of the road. Now, I know at John Wayne Hospital in kind of Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, California, $72,000 a day. How is that justified? What kind of rarefied air are you breathing that is worth $44,000 or $72,000 a day? Or is it just the market price? They get what they can get. 20 minutes after 10, we'll be right back with Jim Turr and his doctor, KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe.
For my pillow, talk to me nice.
56 degrees outside right now, looking for a high today in Santa Fe, about 71 degrees, 24 minutes after 10 o'clock. Talking with Jim Turr up in Las Vegas, New Mexico, about a medical procedure he underwent, had to get it redone back and forth to Albuquerque a few times. Bottom line here, the medical bill that he got, and as Jim correctly states, we paid because he has health insurance, Obamacare, $125,500. Time to figure out if this is fair, if this is excessive. And so we're also, along with Jim, talk to a friend of his, Dr. Joe Whiteman. Dr. Whiteman, good morning.
Howdy.
Are you up in Las Vegas as well?
I am. I've been here for 40 years.
All right. What kind of medicine do you practice?
I'm a retired radiologist.
All right. When Jim relayed his story to you, what was your first reaction?
Well, how could anybody go through that kind of bills and that kind of, mistakes and bad experiences with our healthcare system?
How could anybody, is Jim's story more common than we would like to believe?
Oh, sure. It happens all the time. It happens in all systems, but it seems like ours is bad for that kind of stuff.
Why?
Well, we're always stirring the pot. We're always looking for things to do. We're trying to supply services. It's a business. More services and procedures we supply, the more it adds to our nation's gross national product. Or the health providers get paid. It's part of our national ethos to provide the maximum amount of services, and a lot of times those services have unintended ill effects.
So, Doctor, is this story about the government, society, creating a system where other doctors, hospitals, medical corporations can take advantage of this? Or so are we creating a system that basically is winnable, is beatable for them and not for the patient?
Yes, I think the patient, of course we all care about the patient, but we also care about doing our thing, making our money, providing the services that we're trained to provide. And we're awfully enthusiastic about providing all those services.
So, Dr. Nguyen, I mean, the thing that sticks out here, besides $125,500, the grand total, $44,000 a night, $44,000 at Loveless in Albuquerque. What is that by, and why is it so high?
Well, I'm not the one to ask that. I can't imagine why it's so high. I think it's something to do with the way our society loves to provide services, like I say.
So is it supply and demand? I mean, are hotel rooms so scarce, you know, you can just, sky's the limit and you can get it?
To a certain degree, the sky is the limit. I mean, look at the deal that was made with the pharmaceutical companies. That is, when we extended Medicare to include pharmaceuticals, the government was not allowed to negotiate the price of the pharmaceuticals. You know, we've sold out our souls to business.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was talking to
Richard.
Go ahead, Jim.
I want to say, jump in with two things. Number one, I did not have the procedure redone. I was just kind of recovering from a couple complications in Albuquerque. And I want to make sure, I want to be clear that I have no complaint about any of the providers or the doctors or nurses. Everybody was great.
Right, I think we got
my complaint was about the cost. And I hope we'll talk to Joe about the comparison of what happened to him in Spain.
Right, right, right. Let me just relay a quick story here, Jim and Joe. I was talking to a doctor at an event recently. He's a retired doctor, oncologist, very specialized up in Colorado Springs. But we were kind of talking about this, not about your story, Jim, but about the cost and about the corporation and about kind of the, you know, medical practice. And he says, you know, now a doctor is involved in clinics. They have a clinic here. They have a medical corporation over here. Every aspect of it, from prescribing to filling prescriptions to doing the x-rays, all the testing. So they prescribe it, then they perform it, then they bill you, and they're part of the billing. I mean, it is a very complex set of kind of corporate medicine that we now have, right, Doc?
It's a corporate medicine, and it's got every incentive to increase services and charge as much as possible.
And get paid as much as possible. All right. Yeah. And Jim brought up your experience in Spain, and I've heard similar things. I have a brother who lives in France who's had some heart problems. Same kind of experience I think you're going to relate to us. And, you know, we often hear from the politicians, oh, socialized medicine in Canada or England or Europe, you wait in line for inferior medicine, and that's what you get with socialized medicine. Tell us what happened to you.
Well, that was not my experience. You know, I fell off my bicycle on the island of Mallorca out in the Mediterranean, and I absolutely smashed the devil out of my elbow. It was a deep fracture into the joint. The bones were all pulled apart, and the elbow joint itself was full of sand and gravel. And it was an awful injury. Just in a few minutes, the police were there. A passerby called on his cell phone. The police were there right away. The ambulance was there right away. Everybody took really good care of me. They took me directly to the emergency room, and I was seen right away. The orthopedist showed up in less than an hour, and I had my x-rays. And, you know, I was treated for the pain and so on. And I was scheduled for surgery. This was a Sunday at noon. I was scheduled for surgery at 5:30. When I got into the operating room, I mean, I could see that it was a well-equipped situation. There were about 10 people in that operating room, including anesthesiologists to do the nerve block, the ultrasound people to locate the right nerve, all sorts of assistants and helpers, as well as the orthopedic surgeon. And I have copies of the x-rays, you know, that they took afterwards, and I can tell they did a really fine job of putting my elbow back together. And then because there was a contaminated open fracture of the joint,
mm-hmm.
I had to be in the hospital for 3 days on IV antibiotics. And in the hospital, I had absolutely excellent care, particularly nursing care. You know, the nurses were Johnny on the spot, and they did just what needed to be done. Remarkably, I did not receive anything that I didn't think was really necessary. That is, they didn't do an EKG to be sure that my heart was okay. They didn't call in the neurologist to be sure that I hadn't hurt my head. They didn't do a bunch of unnecessary stuff. They did just what needed to be taken care of. And after 3 days, it was time for me to go home. I had to get on the ferry and the train and the plane to get back home. The nurses there gave myself and my wife, who's a nurse, very thorough instructions about ongoing care of my elbow and sent me off with a big pack of equipment, all the stuff we would need to get my elbow well. So I felt like I received absolutely first-class care there in a really good facility. And about 2 months later, I received a bill for $5,000. And I'm continuing to rehab my elbow.
$5,000 total cost for surgery, anesthesia, hospital room, all of that, $5,000 total.
Every bit of it. Nothing else. That included all the doctors, all those tests. Not that there were many tests, but include doctor's fee, surgeon's fee, all the care I received. One bill.
All right, you came home, but you had to have it redone by American doctors, right?
Oh, no.
It no?
Was great care. I'm rehabbing my elbow because a fractured elbow takes a long time to get completely well, so I'm still exercising and increasing okay. my range of motion.
So Dr. Joe Whiteman is our guest, along with Jim Turup in Las Vegas, New Mexico. Dr. Whiteman, did you have travel insurance? Were you covered in any other way in Spain? And how is this possible? You're not Spanish. You're not a citizen of Spain. How is this possible?
Well, that's just the way they work there. And I think Spain is the same as the rest of the European Union.
Right.
And I do not have any kind of travel insurance, and the $5,000 was the total bill. And I think it's possible because they have an efficient healthcare system, which doesn't support a large insurance industry, which doesn't do a bunch of unnecessary stuff, it doesn't have any incentive to pad the services. I think it's just a much better healthcare system. And as you know, in the European Union, they use something like 9% of their gross domestic product for health care, whereas in this country, we use 17%. They're just much more efficient.
Doctor, can you stick around a few more minutes? Jim, can you stick around a few more minutes if I take a break here? I want to come back and find out what the reaction from your op-ed piece has been. Can you both stick around?
Sure. Yes, thank you.
All right, 35 minutes after 10 o'clock. We'll be, amazing story. Amazing story. 35 minutes after 10 o'clock, we'll come right back. KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe, streaming live worldwide, santafe.com. Minutes after 10 o'clock, talking to Jim Tur up in Las Vegas, and also his friend, Dr. Joe Whiteman, retired physician, talking about Jim's story about a procedure for a hernia, potential hernia. It turned into a $125,500 medical bill. Thank God he had insurance. And Dr. Whiteman's experience in Spain, where he had probably a lot more care, and his total bill in Spain when he got home was $5,000 total. And that's a fairly... Well, I don't know if it's fairly common. My brother, who, as I said, who lives in France, has the same story. A great, incredibly good care, super treatment, stay in the hospital a few days and almost no cost. For, you know, very, very delicate. All right. So Jim, what has been the reaction?
Well, people are amazed, and I don't know. I mean, since the thing has been published and republished, and as I say, I don't know that there's anything unusual about it. My insurance took care of it, and that's fine, except for the cost to the public, and which I don't think was worth it. And we don't stop and say, well, why is it that why is this so outrageous, and how do the other countries, civilized countries, I don't care if you call it socialist or what you call it. How do these other industrialized countries manage to arrange health care for a slightly higher tax bill and then know you don't have to stay in a job you don't like to keep your insurance? You don't have to go bankrupt because you don't have health insurance. I mean, how in the world do they arrange it? I think that's the question we need to compare ourselves to. And that's a discussion we need to have. And I appreciate Bernie Sanders and his emphasis on this. But I don't think Bernie alone is going to take care of it. We need to think about it and talk about it. That's my humble opinion. One of the letters I got from a friend in response to this that was discouraging was that he had a friend who spent her 16 years of education and medical school to become a doctor. And then between all the hassle with paperwork, reimbursements that weren't sufficient, people telling her what to do and what not to do and all the unnecessary stuff to do. It was so frustrating and so impossible. And so she couldn't make any a living at it. She got out after 16 years of medical school and practice. And we don't have enough doctors now because it's such a hassle. And the education is so expensive and you end up with a lifetime of debt. So all these problems enter into it, I guess.
So, Dr. Whiteman, any thoughts on, I mean, Jim laid it out there. It is a very complex, multi-layered problem from hospital to all of the testing that we do here to the expensive medical school, all of this to the, obviously, the medical malpractice insurance. Is there, other than moving, you know, to the EU or Canada or something, is there a process, is there a political way we can get out of this?
Well, you know, my own feeling is that if our healthcare system puts band-aids on people who are rushing over the cliff, we need to put all of our emphasis as a people, as a culture, on staying well in the first place. You know, we don't need to be so focused on whether we have insurance or not. We need to be focused on keeping ourselves out of trouble, where all the things that plague us, most of them are self-induced. It's because, you know, we don't eat right. We don't exercise right. We don't relate to each other right. I think our society needs to look at her health care in a whole different way.
I think you, that's an excellent point. I mean, the one thing that Obamacare, the ACA, does fairly well is they pay for a lot of preventative care. 100%.
I have reservations about preventative care. You know, a lot of stuff we do, for example, mammography. We used to think that was so great, and we do all these mammograms, and now we come to find out that it doesn't make any real difference as far as, for example, the mortality rate from breast cancer. What it does do is it generates a huge amount of expenses, and it scares the heck out of a lot of people. I mean, it really causes a lot of anxiety in this world.
Well,
it is very clear that anxiety like that is a bad effect on your health. It's bad for you. It sends people to the coronary care unit.
It's absolutely true. I had a friend in Albuquerque who was a big-time law enforcement attorney, shall we say, and she got a questionable mammogram in the clinic. Told her, oh, come back in 2 weeks. And she said, all right, so in the next 2 weeks, I'm supposed to arrange, care, upbringing for my children, when I'm dead. And then we had a doctor come into the radio station I worked at in Albuquerque, the doctor who on the clinic, and I brought it up to him and he said, easy come, easy go, at which point I almost grabbed him by the throat. I mean, it is stressful. It's like, oh yeah, come back in 2 weeks. You may have breast cancer and your kids may be left parentless, but we're in no hurry.
It's an outrageous way we treat people. If you look at the bigger picture of the emotional effects.
All right,
Richard.
Well,
may I add two things?
Anything you want, Jim?
Well, I mean, this is not original with me, but the difference between us, our country, and the rest of the industrialized world as far as healthcare is that here there's a lot of lobbying, a lot of money being passed around, and we maintain our system of for-profit healthcare and for-profit insurance, which they don't do in Europe. It's government. It's administered by the government. Seems to be better than ours. Our healthcare is rated 37th in the world in outcomes. Not the best, but 37th in terms of everything, including child mortality, infant mortality. So the system obviously doesn't work. And, that's it. And I just also wanted to throw in, Richard, not to butter you up or anything, but I think you're an excellent interviewer. I listen to a lot of radio, and I think you're as good as anybody there is. So Santa Fe's lucky to have you.
Well, I thank you, Jim. So bottom line is here, you're feeling okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. It was an uncomfortable recovery, exactly as the doctor said it would be when he when we talked about this in the first place. He said abdominal surgery is not fun to recover from, and just you should know that. Of course, I ignored that.
Yeah, I think you should have ignored the diagnosis. Yeah, I mean, but cutting through the muscle walls of your stomach is a slow, painful recovery. Doctor, your elbow's though fine. I just want to check on both of you guys.
Yeah. Mine was robotic, which is a less invasive way. They didn't do a lot of cutting. It was still a bad experience.
That's true. Just poked a hole in you. Doctor, really appreciate your time today. I'm glad you're recovering. And you are retired, correct?
That's right. I'm a retired radiologist. I'm 75 years old.
All right.
But I bicycle.
And he's out biking.
Yeah, I was going to say, stay off your stupid bicycle. But that's the preventative medicine, right? The bicycle?
I think staying active is a real key part of everybody staying healthy.
I agree with you. Hey, thank you both for your time, Jim. A great story, amazing story. I wish the between the three of us we had some kind of answer.
Well, maybe we'll get some response or more interviews that will provide an answer. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Doctor.
All right, see you later.
All right, 48 minutes after 10 o'clock, we will come back. Things to talk about. Anything on your mind, you can always...